Well, I was already looking forward to tonight, so now I'm even more excited. It's going to be good. Please join with me in prayer. Life-giving God, we live in a world where peace seems like a distant dream, and so we pray, not just for the absence of violence and conflict, but for the deep peace of knowing and trusting your will and your way. Clear a holy space where hurt and destruction have no place, and a little child holds sway. Clear our lives of hatred and despair, and sow seeds of joy and peace, that shoots of hope may spring forth, and we may live in harmony with one another. As the darkness and coldness of December set in, shine the light and warmth of your Holy Spirit upon us, keeping us open to the peace of your presence. Amen. When I think of peace as a concept, my mind often wanders to John Lennon's song, Imagine. Imagine there's no countries, nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine no possessions, no need for greed or hunger, and a community. In his time, he said, a brotherhood of man. Today's age, he'd probably say a community of people. If you link the last phrase of every verse, one gets an image of what peace entails for Lennon. Living life in peace means the world being as one, sharing all there is, living for today. And within these images, Lennon links the picture together by labeling himself a dreamer. But he assures the listener that he's not the only one. And part of Lennon's dream is that all who hear the song might join in and dream of peace as well. Dreaming for the future is at the core of what Advent is all about. On this second Sunday of Advent, we're called to dream what seems to be the impossible dream, that the world might live as one in peace and harmony. As we turn to the scripture, we hear Isaiah's dream of peace. In last week's reading, Isaiah said, "They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither will they learn war anymore." And then in this week, Isaiah goes on to say it's going to include all of creation. Wolves will live with lambs, leopards and will sleep soundly with goats, and calves and lions, cows and bears will all graze together fearlessly. Now, Isaiah's dream goes beyond a yearning for peace to a desire for God's shalom for all creation. God's shalom goes beyond the absence of conflict to a reconciliation that takes in all of creation, finding complete harmony and well-being and fulfillment for all. Not only just all societies, but all species, including all individuals, be they humans or trees or squid. If God, the creator of all, has planted this huge vision into the heart of the prophet Isaiah, it shouldn't surprise us that the dream of peace is the single thread that connects us to every community in every country, practicing every religion in every time and place. Peace is a core value of our human condition. One day, a young daughter was working so diligently on her homework that her father became curious and asked her, "What are you working on?" And she said, "I have a project on peace, world peace, and bringing it." "Isn't that a pretty big order for a young girl?" said the father. "Oh, no," she answered. "And don't worry, Dad, there are three of us in the class working on it." We dream of a peaceful world, yet peace seems to elude us. There's been over 3,100 years of recorded history, and the world has only been at peace for 8% of that time, or a total of 286 years. Over 8,000 treaties have been made and broken. So it appears that peace doesn't come by making treaties or alliances, nor does it seem to come by fighting for peace. The peace we're able to obtain seems to last for only a moment, and then our hungers, our desires, our anxieties rise once again, and then our inner and outer conflicts return. And we're left wondering, why is it so hard to be peaceful? Part of the issue is that we can't look to others first. Peace has to start with us as a choice. The late Roman Catholic theologian Henry Nouwen told a parable of an old man who used to meditate each day on the Ganges River in India. One morning, he saw a scorpion floating on the water. And when the scorpion drifted near the old man, he reached out to rescue it, but he was stung by the scorpion. He tried again and was stung again, the bite swelling his hand painfully and giving him much pain. Another man passing by saw what was happening, and he yelled at, "Hey, you stupid old man, what's wrong with you? Only a fool would risk his life for the sake of an ugly, evil creature like that scorpion. Don't you know that you could kill yourself trying to save that ungrateful scorpion?" The old man calmly replied, "My friend, just because it's in the scorpion's nature to sting does not change my nature to save." Sounds good, doesn't it? But in my experience, it's hard to put into practice. I thought I'd start at home when thinking about this. See, I live in a home that's relatively peaceful most of the time. There are two humans and two dogs living harmoniously under one roof. However, it's the smallest creature, a tiny 10-pound cat named Honey Bear, who can turn the whole place upside down and inside out. This was our view of the Grey Cup game. This is what life with Honey Bear is all about. Having received too many beatings over the years, our larger dog keeps clear of her. He's three times her size, but every night, this lovely cat sits in the middle of the stairs, and the dog refuses to go up until we have her safely closed in her room. Notice, it's her room. Now, the smaller dog will sniff and bathe and cuddle with her until the bigger dog notices and intervenes, believing from his own experience that he needs to protect the little dog from bites, swats, and pouncing. Now, just look at this kitten. Isn't she cute? Isn't she harmless? Well, the humans in the house are also not immune to the joys of living with Honey Bear. We affectionately call her Satan. Our challenge with her usually involves the door to the outside world. You need to know that Honey Bear is an indoor cat. Now, Honey Bear doesn't just stand at the door, nor does she even stand anywhere close to the door, nor even actually within sight of the door. And 99% of the time, there's no issue. But every once in a while, usually when you're not fully clothed, usually when it's freezing outside and the deck is covered with ice, Honey Bear flies through the crack in the door, coming from nowhere, and runs out into the backyard. Now, you can run, and just as you're about to snag her, she'll bolt again. And you're just about to get her, and again, she'll stop. And you just about grab her, and she bolts again. And this continues until you're three quarters of the way around the house, and she can't go any further because of a fence. And then she cutely rolls on her back, paws up, and starts to purr. Now, once I've returned to the house, and I've caught my breath, and I've warmed up my toes, and I've done a double look to assure myself that the neighbors haven't seen or heard anything untoward, I can usually actually celebrate that, as annoyed as I might get, Honey Bear is clever, she has great timing, and she's just being who God created her to be. But life with her does help me to understand why peace and shalom are a challenge. It's all about inner peace and finding a peaceful heart. When reflecting on peace, it helps me to reflect on the wisdom of Lao Tzu. If there's no peace in the world, oh, sorry, if there is to be peace in the world, there must be peace in the nations. If there's to be peace in the nations, there must be peace in the cities. If there's to be peace in the cities, there must be peace between neighbors. And if there's to be peace between neighbors, there must be peace in the home. If there's to be peace in the home, there must be peace in the heart. If I want there to be peace in the world, I need to have peace in my heart. But how do I hope to have peace in my heart when this tiny little cat can knock it sideways? My getting mad at Honey Bear for running out the door is like the man getting mad at the scorpion for stinging. It's in their nature. I don't have control over anybody else's or anything else's nature, but I do have control over me. And this is where the other theme of Advent comes in, repentance. Today in the Gospel, we met John the Baptist in the wilderness crying, prepare. And over the years, repentance has been defined as turning away from sin. But repentance is bigger than that. Repentance, as we were talking about earlier, says turn around, change direction. Often we think too narrowly about sin being bad and just the bad things we do. But sin is also the place in our lives where the unconditional love of God has not yet taken full root. So repentance is actually the movement towards that love of God. Repentance means moving towards what a full life could be. Repentance goes a little bit further. It means that I own responsibility for my own part in what's unsatisfactory behavior. It's responsible action. Repentance is not a matter of punishing ourselves for past mistakes, or hating ourselves for past failures, or depressing ourselves with feelings of worthlessness. Repentance is owning responsibility for what was, accepting responsibility for what is, and acting responsibly now. It's a process. Repentance is a thawing out of rigid lifestyles into a flowing, moving, growing process that fills our lives with love and potential. It's dynamic. It's a lifelong journey. It's a lifelong journey with God, a path towards full humanity, and a path towards peace. Maybe we're powerless, and we don't feel like we can turn the world around single-handedly. But each of us can recognize and celebrate the coming of the one who is turning us around, the one who comes to turn us away from fear and isolation, away from competition and selfishness, and towards a vision of all creation, standing together in love and grace. The grace of God is radical. It's something new, a pure vision waiting to be unwrapped. And until we open a gift, it remains nothing but potential, a promise for the future. So just imagine. Imagine all the people living for today, sharing all the world, living life in peace. Maybe we're dreamers. But imagine if we sought peace, embraced peace, chose peace, and shared peace. Just imagine.